Blog Talk Radio.
America's favorite way to fly, we thank you. If you haven't flown Eastern recently, give us a try. We'll show you we really do earn our wings every day.
Street, handlebars, bicycle seats, a house full of love, a great place to grow. Once upon a long time ago, if only I could go back again to Mom and Dad and all of my friends, I would feel safe with the people I know from once upon a long time ago. I'll never fly off to Neverland. I'll never travel in time. I can do is the best I can and go there in my mind. So I close my eyes, imagine I'm there, hide and seek, musical chairs, hot summer nights, and the cool winter snow from once upon a long time ago.
Our neighborhood street is Eastern Airlines, and we come back every Monday. We try to be here every Monday and go back in our minds to a place we loved and still do. And today I've got as my host with us is Chuck Albright. Chuck, he's in the villages, and he just had a pretty nice little rain shower that came through. Hello, Chuck. How you doing?
How you doing? We're doing fine. Me and the frogs.
You and the frogs, huh? You mean the rainstorm that came across brought out the frogs?
Yeah, they bring out these little small ones, though. They're not big.
Yeah.
Look like just junior frogs.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, Chuck, you were based down in Miami for the most part, and you were in maintenance down there, so good to have you back with us. You've been away from the radio show for a while, and good to have you back with us.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be back.
And up there in Long Island, we've got Mike Scott. Mike, how are things there, and what's the weather like there?
Well, it's a little dreary today, about 50 degrees, overcast, with a little light sprinkles going on, and it's not a good day to be outside.
Oh, yeah, it's a little chilly and wet, yeah.
Yeah.
Damp wetness is always the worst kind of coldness.
Yep.
It's damp. Yeah, and then we've got Jim Holder in Atlanta area, east of Atlanta. I think Conyers is still east, isn't it? It hadn't moved anywhere, has it, Jim?
No, they tried to, but they couldn't dig it up. We're still east of Atlanta, about 30 miles.
About 30 miles. Okay. You're not on Interstate, 16, or close to it?
20, about 5 miles south.
Okay.
Yeah,
of Interstate 20.
We've been working in the yard today, and pine trees are still making love, so we have to wash ourselves down when we come in, I tell you. Yeah, I got some horny pine trees.
Well, you don't get the love bugs that we get down here in Florida. I don't think you do.
I don't think so.
We had our first love bug. Peggy and I were sitting out on the back porch the other day, and first love bug landed on her sleeve. And I said, quick, pull them apart.
Well, you know, I was hoping for a big rain. We were supposed to get a big rain yesterday and wash all this yellow stuff away, but we didn't. We got about 0.2 inches, and still everybody's, you know, every time you get out and work in your yard, you got to take a shower to get all the pine falling off of you.
Oh, yeah,
but,
yeah.
We'll get a rain here eventually, I guess, and we won't be yellow anymore.
Well, anything exciting you guys want to talk about here at the beginning of the show? Because I've chosen a singer that we mentioned last time on the air, or someone mentioned that they really liked it. It might have been Carrie that said that she liked him too. And his name is George Jones. You ever heard of George Jones?
Who has?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, to get things started, I'm gonna play the first song by George Jones, who was born in 1931 and died in 2013. So about 8 years ago, he passed away, and he was a singer and a songwriter, and he achieved international fame for his long list of hit records, including his best known song, which I'm gonna play right now, his best known song, as it was his distinctive voice, I guess, that really pleased people listening to him. And so let's hear the first one, and it's called "He Stopped Loving Her Today." If you remember this song.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
He said, "I'll love you till I die." She told him, "You'll forget in time." As the years went slowly by, she still preyed upon his mind. He kept her picture on his wall, went half crazy now and then, but he still loved her through it all, hoping she'd come back again. Kept some letters by his bed, in 1962. He had underlined in red every single I love you. I went to see him just today. Oh, but I didn't see no tears. All dressed up to go away. First time I'd seen him smile in years. He stopped loving her today. It placed a wreath upon his door, and soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today. You know, she came to see him one last time. Oh, and we all wondered if she would. And it kept running through my mind. This time, he's over her for good. He stopped loving her today. It played.
Pretty song, pretty song.
That's right. He never did stop loving Tammy.
Nope. Well, he had about three of them, I think. And but at any rate, great singer. I want to mention something at the beginning of the show. I should have read out folks from around the world that listened to us last week. And among the ones that are always with us, Canada and Brazil and Argentina and Peru. We had over in Europe, we had Croatia listeners, Slovakia, Switzerland, Serbia, Ukraine, Denmark, Kenya, Senegal, and in the Caribbean, Dominican Republic, back to Africa, Yemen, Finland, Russia, and India. And those all tuned us in last week, last week's show. And so thanks a lot for having them listening in. Different time zones, and that's why we don't get frequent callers hardly. We've had a few, not many of them, but the early days of our radio show, we had a few of them, especially around Panama Canal and Central and South America. But it's always good to see them pop up on my screen that they had listened to our show. Maybe they just listened to the good music that we have each week. So what's on you guys' minds, huh? What's about Eastern or anything you want to talk about? I got a 770 number also, 294. That's not Carrie's number, is it, Jim?
No, she's in there talking to the maids.
Is it Al Jenkins? Al Jenkins.
It's Al Jenkins.
I haven't heard from you in a long time. How you been?
Been doing great. How about you guys?
Oh, couldn't be better. I don't know about the other guys, but for me, I couldn't have been be doing better. No way. So,
say again who that is?
Al Jenkins.
Al Jenkins. J-E-N-K-I-N. Uh-huh. Al, what did you do in Atlanta? You're always based in Atlanta?
No. Atlanta, Chicago, St. Louis, New York.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
Oh, boy, you moved around. Yeah. Wow. What was your favorite domicile?
All of them.
All of them. Because of Eastern
all
Airlines.
Because of Eastern Airlines, all of them.
There you
now
go.
Now,
you
went out in the desert and stayed a while.
Where in the desert? Out El Paso or
where they store the airplane.
Oh, out in, golly.
Harvey?
Davis Muffin?
Where the Eastern stored them? I forgot the name of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it was Mojave.
I think
it was.
It's Evergreen.
Evergreen, yeah.
Oh, Marana.
Yeah.
Evergreen.
Yeah.
Marana or Kingman, either one.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good to have you with us on the show. And we got to tell a story or two. Somebody's got to start off the storytelling because we need to hear a story.
If you wanted to hear a short one about the George Jones, you know, he was married to Tammy Wynette, and of course later she ended up being married to a guy by the name of George Ritchie. They're both, of course, are all dead now, but we had a demo on a 727 one time and for a possible sale, and the guys that were in charge or were heading up the Winn-Dixie Eckhard drug train or chain, I mean. There was two fellows, one by the name of Bill Fredericks and another one by the name of Tom Moyer, and they were the big money people who started the Winn-Dixie Eckhard chains, and they were good friends with Burt Reynolds and Tammy Wynette and all of them, and we flew a demo around with all of them, with Tammy and Burt Reynolds and Charles
wow.
Nelson Reilly and Dom DeLuise and Jerry Reed. And it was funny to see Tammy. She would she'd be in the bedroom in the executive 7-2. I mean, you know, she'd lie down in there and I mean, you know, she got airsick one time. Nobody was even paying any attention to her. We had to send one of the guys back to take care of her, you know. So the other ones were having a little too much fun with the booze. But the first time we saw her without a wig on, it was kind of took us back a little bit, but that was an interesting demo trip. We went all over. We took them to England and all over hell. We lasted a couple of weeks flying them all over everywhere. Paid cash for fuel wherever we went.
Wow.
So that was interesting, but that was I gave George Ritchie, she was married to at that time. He had a blue shirt on, I remember, with some kind of a button-down epaulet on it. So I made him an honorary captain. I got a picture of him sitting in the right seat on the 7-2.
Oh, golly. Well, now, was he a singer? I don't recall. George Ritchie. Name rings.
George Ritchie, no. He was kind of like a money guy. You know, he used to get dressed up. I mean, he used to wear those fringy, you know, the Western things with all the fringes on him and all this stuff that he used to hang down and all.
Yeah.
He was a real fancy dresser. And wherever we went, whatever hotel we ended up at, he'd always show up at the bar and he'd pick our tabs all up for us. And I could make a short story, a long one, but we'll save it for another show. But because
there
we ended up with, so I don't want to burn up all the time here, but we'll get into that another time.
Well, anybody else got a short story before we play another George Jones hit? How about if I play the song, you guys think of a story?
That's a good idea.
All right. Start thinking. Here comes the next one. Now, this is going to be a little peppy song. It's not going to be a slow one. Let's see. Maybe it will be a slow one. Let's see.
Looks like I'm going to need some backup over here.
Possum's at it again.
Back up, zip back up quick.
I saw those blue lights flashing over my left shoulder. He walked right up and said, "Get off that riding mower." I said, "Sir, let me explain before you put me in the tank." She took my keys away and and now she won't drive me to dream. I need a honky-tonk song, a cold beer, a hardwood floor, the smoky atmosphere, a pocket full of change to last me all night long. I got a hero hang, a morning a honky-tonk song. To walk that line, as he put those handcuffs on me, I said, give me one more try. He never even cracked a smile when he threw me in the car. So I said, sir, if you don't mind, or would you drop me off at a bar? I need a honky-tonk song, a cold beer, a hardwood floor, smoky atmosphere, a pocket full of change to last me all night long. I got a hero hang, I'm on in a honky-tonk song.
You know, the last two decades of Jones's life, he was frequently referred to as the greatest living country singer. And a musical scholar, Bill Malone, wrote about him and said that for the 2 or 3 minutes consumed by a song, Jones immerses himself completely in its lyrics. And in the mood it conveys, that the listeners can scarcely avoid becoming similarly involved in it. And Waylon Jennings expressed a similar opinion in his song, It's All Right. And he said, if we could all sound like we wanted to, we'd all sound like George Jones. And he also said the shape of George's nose and facial features earned Jones the nickname the possum.
The possum. Well, I know is he had great hair.
Yeah, he did.
I had a lady friend of mine that I met down in Florida. She was born in Mobile, Alabama, and she was. I went with her for about 9 years, and I used to tell everybody I had my own redneck, you know, girlfriend. And it was a place we used to go to out there off Tamiami Trail in Miami. Go out there, a place called Gator Kicks.
Yeah.
And they used to play all that kind of music out there. And we could have one hell of a time. And they used to give all the girls would wear, they would give them all yellow T-shirts with Gator Kicks on it. But the thing was, you had to put it on right there.
Was that in Coopertown? I bet you that was in Coopertown where that bar was.
It was about about 20 minutes west on the Tamiami Trail going out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, golly. Any of you guys have any celebrities on flights? Let's see. Jim, I guess you're the only guy there other than Mike and myself that did any flying. I don't know who came into the hangar with you, Chuck. Any celebrities that came into your hangar while you were doing aircraft maintenance?
No, it's mostly I saw some of the executives every once in a while. I guess I have a small story for you. I told this once. I got a job as a tech service supervisor after a long career as an AMP mechanic and working on 1011s. And they would let us off from our desks for a half hour to eat lunch. Well, the fastest place we could eat lunch was the employees' cafeteria, which was right there off of 36th Street. And one day I was sitting there in the table about starting my lunch, and this big tall guy walks up, kind of lean. He's had a few years on him, and he says, "Do you mind if I sit down next to you?" And I said, "Yeah," but I didn't quite look at him. And when I sat down, I said, "Boy, I know you from somewhere." And I says, he said, "Yeah, my name's Johnny Ray." That was the number one mechanic at Eastern Airlines. That
not
was
the
his
singer?
Employee
You're
number.
Not talking about the singer, Johnny Ray, are you?
No, I'm talking about that mechanic who became a manager.
I believe.
I read about him later on. And that's where he had the number one mechanic's license number for Eastern Airlines.
And, Chuck, I believe he was Eastern's first employee. I think he was number one.
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my story. Famous people don't come into the hangars too much. It's loud and kind of messy, and all the things that are going on, and most of the time they manage wouldn't bring them in there. They might bring them to the edge and show them where the big planes were and everything, but they wouldn't walk around the airplanes because of the insurance people. Yeah, they were really get upset when you bring people that don't belong in there, because obviously if they got hurt, something would happen.
Well,
so I didn't
see
too many famous people.
All right, I'm going to play another George Jones song, and then, Jim, it's your time to tell a story. So, all right, here's another one. Let's see if you remember this one by George Jones. The Possum.
He kisses her goodbye and heads for the radio station. Oh, he hates to leave her, but he's got another show to do. He knows she gets lonely, so he lets her know he's thinking about her. And though millions are listening, she knows who he's talking to. Come into your life like I do every night from the heart of your radio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheating songs. It's open to everybody out in radio land. Finds a love just as true as mine. Good night, angel. Sleep tight, darling. And close your pretty brown eyes. When the show is over, your radio lover will be home by your side. She's laying in bed as her DJ tells her that he loves her. It would break his heart if he knew she wasn't there alone. She knows when to cheat and when to tell her lover to leave her. She knows they'll be safe just as long as his show goes on. He planned a surprise for the night of their first anniversary. He taped his show just so he could be home with her. The radio was playing, and as he walked in on her, her lover, he heard himself saying the last words that they ever heard. I come into your life like I do every night from the heart of your radio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheating songs. It's
there's open to everybody out in Radio Land. Finds a love just as true as mine. Good night, angel. Sleep tight, darling. Close your pretty brown eyes. When the show is over, your radio lover will be home by your side.
Now, that's the song I chose because we come to you on the radio.
Yeah.
I thought that was appropriate, a good song.
Don't remember hearing that one a whole lot. I know it's on his one of the albums that I have. But
Well, you know a little bit more about, and you touched on a couple of things, Mike, but Jones was born in Texas, and he heard country music when he was 7 years old and decided he's going to get a guitar. He got one at the age of 9 years old. And then moving on into adulthood, he married his first wife, Dorothy Bonvillian, I guess her last name was, in 1950, and then quickly got a divorce in 1951. And then he went into the United States Marine Corps, and he was discharged in 53. And then he married a gal named Shirley Ann Corley in 54, and he recorded his record White Lightning, which launched his career as a singer. And his second marriage ended in divorce, and then he married none other than Tammy Wynette, which Mike told us earlier. And, of course, he was an alcoholic. And I think that was a true story. I think we talked about that at one time, about him being on a lawnmower because was it Tammy that took the keys away from him, Mike? And
well, you were mentioning about he was on the way to the convenience store on the lawnmower with a six pack or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True story about him. Yeah. And they finally got a nickname for him, another nickname besides the Possum. They started calling him No Show Jones.
Yeah.
And then he married his last wife, fourth wife, Nancy Sepulveda in 83 and became sober. And then he died at 81 from hypoxic, whatever hypoxic is, I guess lack of oxygen of some sort. But he was a great singer.
He made it to 81, you said?
Yeah, made it to 81 on alcohol. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
He ran out of gas.
Imagine if he'd been using 100 low lead.
Yeah. All right. It's your time, Jim. Tell me some story or who you flew with or whatever.
Well, over the years, I had a lot of big name folks, but one that I remember, two of them I remember, was Hank Snow, and he's the only guy I ever really got up and went back and talked to. And so I flew in and out of Nashville a lot, and you were always having somebody, you know, going there. But Hank Snow was a hero of mine when I was growing up, and I went back and he was all by himself wearing that blaze, you know, the cowboy outfit that they all wore with sparkles and beads and all that kind of stuff. But he was about as friendly guy as I've ever talked to. He just, like, you know, I went back and I was the electric second officer, a flight engineer. And I told the captain, I just had to go back and talk to him. And he said, well, stay as long as you want to. You ain't doing anything up here. So I went back there.
Well, that was a compliment.
Well, the flight engineer on the Electra didn't do an awful lot.
That's right.
And I've told a story. I used to, when I would leave on a three-day trip, I'd go down to maintenance. I'd get about five boxes of those little bitty light bulbs, and then I'd sit there all night and, you know, take the burnt-out ones and put a new one in, changing bulbs out. But anyway, I went back to see old Hank Snow, and he just was just as friendly as could be. And another guy that I had, and it was right after he had had a bad car wreck, and he got on the airplane, and I was standing in the galley. It was 727 out of Nashville, and he came through the door and made a right turn and looked right at me. And, of course, I recognized him instantly and also recognized the fact that his face was really messed up bad, and that was Johnny Cash. And he had been in a bad car wreck, and his that I read about it later that he couldn't smile, he couldn't do anything, but he looked like he had just got out of the hospital and looked bad. But I didn't go back and talk to him, obviously. You know, I don't think he was talking to anybody. But,
was that back in the 60s?
Yeah, I think, didn't he have the wreck in the 60s? It was right after he had the wreck.
Yeah, I think so.
But it was on the 727, I know that, because I was standing in the galley on a 100, and he looked, he came in and made that turn and made eye contact with me. And I didn't know it was, it was just people getting on. I was just standing there waiting to get a break to go back into the cockpit.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I had a lot of big names. I flew to L.A. an awful lot. You always had somebody, at least one somebody on L.A., going back and forth to L.A., out of Atlanta.
Yeah, I had Jerry Van Dyke on the show. I mean, not on the show, but on my flight. And the flight attendant came back, and she says, "Captain, we got a problem with one of these Hollywood guys back here sitting in the middle of the aisle with a guitar." And she said, "I don't even recall him bringing a guitar on, but he's got a guitar, and he's sitting here playing songs." And I said, why is he doing that? And she said, "Well, I guess he had too much booze. He's had too much booze, and he's entertaining the second class." This was back in the second class section. And she said, "We can't walk up and down the aisles." So I said,
who was
second,
that guy?
Second officer.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I sent the second officer back there, and he came back, and he said, "Well, he's gone back to his seat in first class." So anyhow, with his guitar.
Who was a guy that always would get on television with Dean Martin and others and act like he was drunk? What was that guy's name?
Foster Brooks.
Well, I had him one night, and we were delayed in weather delay in on the ground, and for about an hour or so. I think we were, it was a snowstorm up north in Cleveland or someplace, and we had a ground delay, and he got up and started entertaining everybody, and I could hear him back there just laughing and carrying on and everything.
Yeah.
And flight attendant came up and said, "There's this guy back here. I think he's drunk." He's just sitting in first class, but he's standing up. And so I said, "Second officer, go back there and see what's going on." We could hear him all laughing and carrying on. He came back. He said, "No, that's Foster Brooks. He's up there acting like he's drunk." And he just entertained everybody for about 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I had him a couple times,
It is,
But
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when I had him, we used to basically run him back and forth between L.A. and Las Vegas, because he used to perform at the Riviera Hotel that my old boss used to own in Las Vegas.
You know, another guy that could act drunk, he was good at that, was Red Skelton. He did a good drunk. But Foster was one of a kind, Foster Brooks.
He was.
Like Dean Martin. I don't even think he drank, but he played a good drink.
Well, I got one more here to play, and I hope you like this one. Here it is. Baby, why?
Tell me why, baby, why, baby? Why, baby, why you make me cry? Cry, baby, cry. I can't help but love you till the day that I die. So tell me why, baby, why, baby, why, baby, why?
Well, I got a crow I wanna pick with you, just like last time when the feathers flew. You're running wild, I'm kicking up your heels, leaving me home with a handful of bills. I can't live without you, and you know it's true, but there's no living with you, so what'll I do? I'm going honky-tonk and get as tight as I can. Maybe by then you'll appreciate a good man. Tell me why, baby, my baby, why you make me cry, baby, cry, baby, cry, baby, cry. I can't live without you till the day that I die, but tell me why, baby, my baby, why? Every little dog's gonna have his day. You better pay attention, don't you dare forget, 'cause I'm just a little bitty puppy, yeah. I caught you honky-tonking with my best friend. The thing to do was leave you, but I should've left then. Now I'm too old to leave you, but I still get sore when you come home a-feeling for the knob on the door. Tell me why, baby, my baby, why you make me cry, baby, cry, baby, cry, baby, cry. I can't help but love you till the day that I die, but tell me why, baby, why?
Do we have Brenda?
I need some moonshine.
Brenda, are you on the air with us? No, don't think so. 519, area code 519. I'll get these area codes straightened out one of these days. Who's that? Who's 519? Uh-oh, dropped off. Okay. Mm. You know, George Jones had been called the Rolls Royce of country music, and he had more than 160 hits, singles, to his name from 1955 until his death in 2013. And I think this is the ultimate tribute. Johnny Cash once said, when people ask me who my favorite country singer is, I say, you mean besides George Jones?
You know, that was in 55. That's one of his first songs.
Yeah, yeah, you could tell.
Yeah, I remember hearing that
higher
when I was in high school.
Yeah. And I used to sing it a lot, too, in high school.
A lot of moonshine those days.
Why, baby, why? Oh, golly. Well, let's see. 519 is back with us. 519, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I was on mute, and then I muted myself.
Oh, is this Renee? Renee.
Yeah.
Well, hey, welcome. You guys up in Canada. Yeah. Did you hear songs like what we've been playing from George Jones? I guess you did.
Oh, yeah, all that. And you had Hank Snow on a little while ago. Hank Snow was a singing ranger. He was a Canadian from Nova Scotia. And when I was a kid down there, I got to go to his concerts and I got to know him. So
wow.
Thanks for playing.
Did not know that. I did not know he was Canadian. And what was his famous, what's his song that recognizes Hank Snow by more than any other song?
One of the railway songs, the record, the old 97.
Oh,
the famous,
yes.
One.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, we might have to do Hank Snow here next. Do some of his hits.
Okay.
All right. Very good. You guys,
yeah.
Thawing out up there? Is it nice up there in Canada? You're in the Toronto area, aren't you, Renee?
I'm 2 hours west and in London, Ontario, but the weather's good. Everything,
yeah.
It's an amazing spring here. Everything is just blossoming like crazy with the weather that we're having.
That's
so
great.
I appreciate it, but COVID has got us locked down. We're in a stay-at-home mode right now because the virus is going crazy up here.
Uh-oh. Well, sorry to hear that, but keep the mask on. You know, we went to we went to a celebration, and my little brother had he had a celebration welcome to the six rescuers. Picked him up out of the Gulf of Mexico, he and along with his three passengers, one being his wife.
Oh, yeah.
But what was I going to say about that? Besides that, oh, golly, boy, I get off
welcome
the track.
Welcome to old age.
CRS.
CRS. Yeah. What were you talking about, Renee? I forgot.
Hank Snow.
Hank Snow,
right.
Yeah, but it had nothing to do with Hank Snow. Oh, well, it'll come to me tomorrow. But you ever had one of those junior moments, or are they called senior moments? I forgot.
All the time.
Y'all make me feel young.
Yeah, well, let's play one more song. That's all I got for him, and then we'll talk a little bit until we run out of time here, but we got a few more minutes. So listen to this last one, and it's called Wild Irish Rose. Now, I know there's a song about the Wild Irish Rose, but this is George Jones's song, Wild Irish Rose. Sing it, George.
They sent him to Asia to fight in a war. He came back home crazy and asking what for. They had him committed for medals and all to a mental hospital with rubber wall. They cut off the funding, or they cut off the lights. He hit the street running that cold winter night. Now the streets are the only place he can call home. He seems all so lonely, but he's never alone. He lies there holding his wild Irish rose. This crazy old fool in the smelly old clothes. He could have than a half-empty bottle of wild Irish rose.
That's his Wild Irish Rose song, and meanwhile, I got back on track. I know what I was going to say in response to Renee's mask. Up there in Canada, I'm sorry you're having such a hard time with this virus. We've had it down here too, in Florida. But at any rate, I went to a gathering, and there was about 35 people, all on a deck behind my little brother's house in Fort Lauderdale, and no one was wearing a mask. No one. We started off wearing a mask. Little brother put me back over in the corner, way back in the corner, because we're the oldest people there. Everybody else were youngsters, it seemed. But no one had a mask, and I thought about that for a while. And I thought to myself, I've had the shots, but how many people in that crowd had no shots? And, you know, it's kind of foolish to go into a large crowd like that without wearing one. And the hardest thing I have to do is, or remember, is to take my mask and put it on. If I get out of the car and go into the grocery store, I'll get halfway to the grocery store, and then it dawns on me everyone else is wearing a mask except me. So I go back to the car, get my mask, put it on. Has that ever happened to any of you guys?
Geez, I've never had to do that.
Oh, yeah. Never, never. Hey, before you get away from us, Neil, I got something you might be interested in me doing or saying.
Go ahead.
Ernie Betts. You know Ernie Betts.
Yep. Talked to him about a half hour the other morning.
Okay. Well, he sent me something sort of funny. And it's a clipping from the mid-50s, I think. And he said, I'm cleaning out my kippings. And I'll tell you what he said in the text, then I'll read the clip. And it says, the bar was Ken Circle Lounge in Miami Springs, owned by Ken Mueller, an Eastern pilot. Both ladies were Eastern stews who lived in the same apartment building as I did in Miami Springs. And they stayed in the bar a couple of hours and started home in rush hour, sitting on top of a canoe. Now, here's the clipping from the newspaper, and I'll read it. It's not very long. And it says, it's a Miami newspaper, it says, Craft sinks, in parentheses, in traffic. Tippy canoe hurts too. Two bathing suit-clad airline stewardesses were injured Wednesday when they made a forced landing in a downtown Miami Springs traffic jam in a canoe. The craft bearing the girls flew from the top of an auto. The car was making a sharp turn south on Royal Point Ponciana Boulevard near Hook Square. The crash landing occurred about 5:45 p.m. at the height of rush hour traffic. The canoe sustained minor damage. Treated and released from the Jackson Memorial Hospital were Lee Crum and Esther L. Rowe, both about 25, of Something Eldon Drive, Miami Springs. The driver of the car, Daniel B. Afflin, 54 years old, of 225 A0 Way, was charged with driving while intoxicated, reckless driving, and violating a city ordinance against toting passenger-bearing canoes atop cars. Springs officer Charlie Berman quoted the girls as saying they had been canoeing in the Miami River, and rather than paddle back to their launching site, the trio decided to carry the canoe atop the car. The ill-fated canoe flight occurred soon thereafter. And he goes on to say that these two girls, he knew them. They stayed in the same bar. Well, I guess it was at a bar, but they stayed in the same building that he did when he was down in Miami, and I guess he knew them. And he said they got over there. It wasn't strapped down to anything. It was just they were supposed to sit in it, and that was going to keep them from falling off the top. And it was a station wagon. And
oh,
he said,
God,
they got their injuries and flew well into the 60s. And he said, I lost track of both of them. And it says, lots of stories. Be well, Ernie. And I thought that was a clipping. Looks like it was, you know, from that time period. Can you imagine going down the street in Miami Springs and seeing a station wagon with a canoe and two girls in swimming suits up on it?
You know, Ken's Bar, I think you're probably referring to the Ken that owned Ken's Bar and Lounge there in the Circle in Miami Springs. And
right.
That was a real hangout for the pilots and flight attendants and mechanics and I guess maybe even Chuck, you probably visited Ken's Bar and Lounge there.
Wasn't that called Holloman's place up there?
No, it says here Ken's Lounge in Miami Springs, owned by Ken Mueller, who was an Eastern pilot based in Kennedy.
And the other famous one was Ronnie's Lounge there at the Travelers.
That's on Lejeune, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of folks hung out there, yeah. Oh,
yeah,
man, that's quite a story. So Ernie sent
swimming
you that.
Suits he said it to me last night. And,
well, you know, he had probably contacted you, Jim, about Patrick. Pat. What's his last name? Pat Broderick.
Uh-uh.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. He wanted to know about, did I have anything on the, his cold cat off an aircraft carrier? And I told him I'd heard it, but I didn't have any. I even went into my computer and did an all search, and I couldn't find anything. But it's a true story about Fred Froderick in a cold launch and almost got run over by the aircraft carrier.
The airplane, I think, went to the left, and he went to the right of the ship, and they picked him up. I forgot, way behind the aircraft carrier.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah. He told me he was bumping along the side of the carrier, just trying to keep from being sucked underneath it. You know.
Well, Ernie said that the story was that he went between the props. He went between the props, the shafts of the boat.
Yeah, seemed like I remember hearing that too, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A heck of a way for a quick haircut.
Personally.
Yeah. Pat was a nice guy. He was a super nice guy.
Oh,
he died.
Super nice guy.
He died
guy.
In his 50s, I guess, when he passed away.
They moved to Shreveport. His wife, I think, still lives out. His widow still lives out there. But Pat ended up with Merrill Lynch, and the two brothers, remember them? And he worked for them, and he started having anger, and he would call me up and tell me he was having to get anger treatments. And I guess the Eastern strike, it got a lot of people, but he had that, and he said he just couldn't get over it. And they finally moved to Shreveport, and he passed away out there.
Was Pat on the Alpha? Didn't he do something for Alpha? I forgot. Exactly.
Oh, he was
our
spokesman in Atlanta. I mean, he was the guy. We had the Fox Theater, and he was down there on the stage during the strike, the family awareness. And when that Delta NBC chairman was standing right next to him, I was up in the loft, you know, the Fox Theater. And he was our guy. He was the guy that did all the spokesmen and, you know, news and all that kind of stuff, was interviewed. And he had a real important job. And I think that was part of what ended up, you know, with him having that emotional problem.
Yeah.
But
he was a fine guy. Yeah. Always had a smile, always said hello.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think he ever flew with me. I think maybe one time he did. But just a nice guy, good-looking guy, too.
He was just a little bit junior to me, and I think we flew together on seat swapping a couple of times on the 727. He was just a little bit behind me.
Yeah. Well.
Hey, boy.
Time flies.
I hope I don't get any trouble reading that article about those two gals sitting in a canoe on top of a station wagon.
Wonder where they are now. That must have been. What was the date of that article, Jim?
Oh, golly, it was late 50s. He said 58 or something like that. He thought he wasn't. And they got over their injuries and flew well to the 60s. But the guy driving that was a 54-year-old, and they were both in their mid-20s. So I guess there was something there going on, too. I don't know. Maybe he had big plans or something, if he can get these girls a ride home with a canoe sitting on top of his station wagon. They were up there so it wouldn't blow off. You know, their weight was supposed to keep him on there, but it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, who wants the final last word?
Last word.
Well, nice talking with you guys this week, and we'll do it again, and we'll go do some more of this good music by singers we haven't heard in a long time. Might even come up with Hank Snow. I'm going to look up some of his records.
Yeah.
And when I sign off,
Moving on.
But in the meantime, we're going to hear a little Merle Haggard music carrying us out
there
of here.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. Good guy. Good show, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep.
I still haven't sobered up from a brother's party.
There you go.
Roaring engines headed somewhere in flight. They're taking you away.
Happy hour.
See you, Renee.
There you go.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.